Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, WHUT-TV, Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. This is The Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable again with some of the top stories of the week on deck tonight. More problems for the Montgomery County School System, a CVS drugstore in D.C. to close because of crime. Are Washingtonians really excited about the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl chances? And we're going to be talking about the Biden campaign and whether or not it needs to talk about something else other than abortion. My guests tonight are Jennifer Thomas, journalism professor at the Howard University School of Communications, Keith Harrison, reporter with HBCU Times Print Magazine, and Hamil Harris, reporter with the Washington Informer. And of course, you, the listener and the viewer. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, or of course, I invite you to X me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Jennifer, Keith, Hamil, thank you all for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Right. It's great to be here.
All right, Jennifer, let us first talk about the Montgomery County School System. Dr. Joe Beidelman, no longer with the school system. We don't know whether he decided to quit or was fired, but this has taken quite some time. Of course, he was accused of several bullying incidents, sexual harassment, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, we've known. Well, thank you for having me,
sure,
as always. Well, yes, it seems like there in Montgomery County, it's like what a tangled web we weave. Mm. Lots of issues over many years. It looks like things have come to a head with Dr. Beidelman there. And, you know, then with Dr. McKnight, and she's getting a lot of support from many of the parents. But then we know many of the unions are asking her to step down, and she's saying she's not. So it's like, what's the undercurrent? We know that school system has had a myriad of problems, as you've said, over the years. So I'm not quite sure what will happen next. She's saying that she's going to look into all of the things that have brought forth with the firing of Dr. Beidelman. But then others are saying, well, what about her? She's saying she's not going to step down, so I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
What to make of it all?
Keith?
It seems like there's some negotiating going on between her side and the Board of Education right now, which you would expect. But, in these instances with school superintendents, they tend to have three key constituencies. The parent, children is one. The teachers union is another. And the Board of Education is the third. She's lost support from two of those three. And if you lose support from a majority of those three, it's hard to hang on. So it seems to me like what's going on is some type of a negotiation for her departure. But she is, I checked with the school spokesman this afternoon, and he said she's working, and she's working in her role as superintendent. Of course, he didn't want to say anything else. Mm-hmm. But so she's still there, but it just seems like, as you said, these kinds of problems happen. And if it's not this about, promoting someone who is under investigation, there have been a lot of problems in school systems between boards of education and superintendents.
Hamil, your thoughts about it?
It just seems like it never gets better. Here we go again. It's like we have heard this story, it's just depending on the county. And it seems like they always talk about how much money and resources they have in Montgomery County, but somehow it's not flowing to the top, especially at the executive level. I just don't understand this.
Well, the thing that I don't understand, and I don't think this has anything to do with money or resources, I think this has to do with what's right. And, this is not about, I think it is less about Dr. McKnight, because she's only been there for a minute. She's been there, a year and a half
acting
or something.
First.
Yeah, exact. Acting first. And if she were to step down, I think she still has, 2 years on her contract? So that's going to be expensive. Mm. But money notwithstanding, if you if you have a long-standing issue of not addressing sexual harassment or just misconduct complaints against staff, against supervisors, where, as in the allegations against, you know, Beidleman, that these were subordinates. And, you know, and let me just say, they are, you know, are women who are in powerless positions. They were teachers, and they don't have a place to go if these things come up.
And wasn't part of the concern that she said she wasn't aware of some of these allegations, but in fact, she accordingly, or apparently, reportedly, was with him years ago and saw some of that behavior when they both worked in a middle school, or were either middle school principals or teachers. I can't remember what their positions were, where she was apparently at a party when she witnessed some of this alleged behavior. So, you know, some within the school system say, well, she knew what he was capable of because she knew he had been had allegations before he came into this position. So I don't know. There's always a he say, she say, and as Keith said, she's like one to two in terms of her support. But a lot of times we know there's extra scrutiny sometimes in certain positions, and I don't know.
But shouldn't there be an issue with, you know, large organizations and how they protect their image? Obviously, you know, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't speak anything. And you know, Montgomery County is certainly, you know, one of the best school systems in the state of Maryland, if not the nation. And so why do we need to talk about these things? not us, Keith. No.
But, you know, it's not unique to the Montgomery County public school systems. I mean, within the past year or so that the District of Columbia government had a similar problem when one of the mayor's closest advisors, or I think the deputy mayor for economic development, had similar issues, and as it turned out, policies just weren't in place, and what policies were in place weren't being followed. And so it's a kind of thing that's not unique to that school system or other school system. It's a lot of things that you would expect more of. Certainly you would expect more in terms of, you know, following procedures and having procedures in a place like Montgomery County, the largest school that has the largest school system in the state of Maryland, or in the District of Columbia government, which is run by a woman.
And I would also say, I mean, you talked about D.C. We saw this fentanyl problem in Loudoun County where parents were not notified, which that's just beyond the pale, because you were literally talking about one of the biggest, public safety issues regarding, you know, our children, for example, is this fentanyl thing. And no one said anything until the sheriff said in Loudoun County, nobody told me. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point, I think you should be more concerned about the image of being transparent, coming forth, putting your foot down and say, we have a problem, and I, whoever the I happens to be, school board, superintendent, I'm going to fix it, as opposed to hiding it, Emil.
But you know the thing about it, I'm glad Keith is here tonight and Jennifer, because for many years when I was a reporter at the Post and Keith was my boss, Keith would know about stuff more than the PTA president, and we would go out there and go after these things in discovery. And today, I just don't see the accountability that we're used to. And, you know, it shouldn't wait till the sheriff knows about stuff. You know, in certain places, we just wouldn't put up with that. And so, again, you know, this is an opportunity for young people, for journalists at Howard, Morgan, everywhere, holding people accountable before it's on the news.
I would say yes, that is our job, but we're not talking about our job. We're talking about the we're talking about the responsibility of the people, for whom our taxes are supporting their school system.
And piggybacking on what Hamil said, and Keith, you can respond since you all work together. But when it comes down to it, it's about the safety of the children. And if there are allegations that a principal, who the children are supposed to respect and look up to, if there are allegations of him sexually harassing anyone, and there are parental concerns, that should be addressed. And we're in an age where anybody can find out anything as quickly as you can blink an eye. So the fact, when you think about, I didn't know, we know ignorance is no excuse in a court of law. And when it comes to these things and it involves the school system, you can't say you don't know. And it always goes, it's from the top down. We know that. Yeah. Responsibility starts at the top.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. We invite you to give us a call and comment and share your thoughts about some of these stories that we are talking about. So give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We will be talking about these issues until just before 8 o'clock. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And even as we move on to some of the next topics, if you want to take us back to some of those with your comments, I certainly invite you to do so. I do want to talk about this issue in Columbia Heights with the CVS closing next month because their shelves are bare and not because there's a sale, Keith. people are stealing. It's kind of like, it's very heartbreaking because you remember last year, a DC council member, Trayon White, when they were talking about the Safeway in Ward 8, and he had that press conference, and he said, I need you all to stop stealing in order to keep this resource in the community.
It is fact. First of all, the people who live near that CVS and depend on it, that's just, it's sad.
And the pharmacy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The National Association of Realtors did a survey of their members last year, and 41% of them said they have a policy that if anyone shoplifts individually or as a group, that their employees are not supposed to confront those people. They just let them go. This has been a policy for a long, long time. But here, check this out. It wasn't until 2022 in April that Donald Glover's show on FX, Atlanta, had an episode in which they devoted about half of the episode to making that known to everybody, essentially, and the plot was there was a guy who was going to lots of stores and just grab stuff and just walk out. And Donald Glover's character said, what are you doing? He said, look, don't you know they have a policy that they can't mess with you? And he would just pick up expensive items and walked out. Nobody knew about that. And this trend that has happened recently across the country, it happened after that. It happened after that episode aired. So people know. And one of the things, what can you do about it? Well, the District of Columbia has this crime bill that'll be voted on soon that, among other things, it would make it a separate crime for anyone who organizes those mass, shoplifting sprees, and it enhances penalties for other types of retail thefts. I don't know whether that's going to stop all these things because, the policies at the store level still are going to be not to confront people who come in and grab merchandise and walk out.
Yeah, and obviously that policy is to protect the employees. I had a family member who used to be a manager at a CVS. He was not afraid to confront them. He's no longer there. He decided he had had enough. But I'm glad that he has moved on to another much more lucrative career. But at the same time, I think, policies notwithstanding, I think it is a sad commentary on where and how the district continues to struggle with this issue of crime.
It's gotten really out of control. And this, the Secure DC legislation that Keith is referencing, many people are saying it's a little too late. too much, too little, too late, like the song goes. You know, to your point, I mean, I was in a store around the holidays, and the cashier said how people have come in, you know, groups have come in with an officer standing right there and walk out. And she's like, take what you want. So if we know that, you know, it's affecting our communities more, as to your point, more than any other. So what are they to do? It creates that vacuum now of for pharmacies. Yes, there's one in Adams Morgan. There's a CVS also in Georgia Avenue. But this is the community there. Mm-hmm. We're hurting ourselves. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think I saw one of the local reports had one resident who said, I don't blame them. I wouldn't be here either. And then another woman who said, this is pathetic. Because now this is affecting our community, and it's like we continue to hurt our own. We continue to, you know, do damage to ourselves.
Yeah. Hamil?
You know, we spent so much time in the planning of Columbia Heights. I remember when that store went up, and now it goes down, and you got to go right over to Walmart that was on 8th Street. You know, you have all these stores, and they look at the numbers. And the bottom line is that, you know, this is something that they continue to rob. We play the shell game, but I don't see anything changing. And that neighborhood has a lot of professionals in there, people going in and doing things, you know. And so it's like we have the same scenario in a different block.
Yeah. I want to go back to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. Let's talk to Renee calling from Columbia. Renee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I've known Joel Biderman for about 2 years, and he's very arrogant. And a piece that's left out of the narrative is, for those of us who knew him or were friends, he was like, I'm black, I'm a doctor, I'm a member of a fraternity, I can do whatever I want. And that's why it happened. He felt like he was unstoppable. And his behavior was pervasive. It wasn't just in the schools, it was in social settings. And he was very proud of the fact that he was close to the superintendent. He wore like a badge of honor. So the House of Cards only fell down because the Washington Post had outside receipts from T-Mobile. If the Washington Post hadn't broke the story, he would still be the principal of Paint Branch, because everybody at central office was protecting him on down, from his fraternity members to other black people who did not want to see a black man with a doctorate fall. But many knew, and many covered for him.
Mm. Renee, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kim calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind? Kim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. So what I'd like to say is simply that Monifa is the vestiges of what has happened in MCPS for years. She can't possibly come in and fix things that have been going on for decades. I'm a former MCPS employee. I know the stories, and I know how MCPS has covered up things. However, I don't believe Monifa needs to take the fall for this. Some of the things that Dr. Biederman did were, without question, unacceptable. And he needs to pay the price, but I don't think the whole system needs to come down because of it. I think this is reminiscent of a Claudine Gay example. And I don't know how many of you remember, but in 1999, we had another candidate, African-American female, who was going to be the superintendent of MCPS. And a little bit of dirt came out about her, and she rescinded her superintendency candidacy. So I think we need to look at the systems and the structures of systemic racism to identify what's really happening here.
You could, you know, perhaps, you know, say that, Kim, this Office of the Inspector General report is saying that we need to look at the systems and the structures of the Montgomery County school system as a whole. They want to throw the baby out and the bathwater. They want to start from the, you know, from the very bottom. And hopefully after they get themselves together, at least they'll be able to say, well, you know, maybe now we're here and get this stuff squared away. Kim, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. Ty calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you next. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, WHUT-TV, and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's going to be on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.